You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Dilly Ding Dilly Dong, the Leicester Mercury's Leicester City podcast / video. And I'm Rob Tanner, and I'm joined today by James Sharpen Sharp. We're going to be dissecting Leicester City's opening day defeat at Arsenal. And it's a bit of a case of the same old story, isn't it, James? Going to Arsenal, performing quite well, coming up short in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened almost 4 years in a row now, isn't it? So the one 4 years ago where they were 2-0 down at half-time but fought back, and Andre Kramaric almost got them back into the game under Nigel Pearson and lost that one. Then the title-winning season, of course, where Danny Simpson got sent off and Arsenal won in the final minute and celebrated like they won the league and did their dressing room selfies and their laps of honour. Then last season again, it's just another one of those games where Leicester always lose at Arsenal, always late on. And it's just really, really frustrating.
Well, it must be for the players as much as the supporters that travel to the Emirates for a Friday night game. First time Premier League is kicked off on a Friday. I'm not a big fan of Friday night football. I think Friday night's for the pub, not for watching football, because it makes all sort of problems for travelling fans. But it was a familiar tale. Robert Huso goal last year as well.
Bitter
disappointment. But every time they've had a disappointment at Arsenal, they've bounced back. It's led to something positive. If we to go back to that first season, it was the first time they used the three centre-back system, mm-hmm. and they went on the great escape run then after that. And then, obviously, that the Arsenal selfies after Simo was sent off. Yeah. And that kick-started City, and they admitted afterwards that sort of really galvanised them to go on and win the title. And last season, they won back-to-back games after the Arsenal defeat to ensure they weren't going to get dragged into that relegation dogfight. So have we seen any positives from the game that would give us belief that they can go on a nice run now after the Arsenal disappointment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, after defeats like this, you're always, when it's so late and it's at Arsenal and you've scored three away from home and you're in the lead with 10 minutes to go, afterwards the first sense is one of real bitter disappointment and how another one slipped away and what a great chance that was. But when you reflect on it afterwards, there are plenty of things that you can draw upon. I thought Matty James was excellent. It's been so long since he had the chance to start in Leicester's midfield. I thought he was really, really excellent, and he's going to give Shakespeare a few headaches when Danny Drinkwater comes back in. Harry Maguire, I know he got bullied for the Olivier Giroud's goal, which was a fantastic header, but he again looks like he's settling in well at Leicester City. That was a positive. But Mark Albrighton's delivery from out wide was absolutely fantastic. His kind of assists for those goals, crosses for Vardy, that was excellent as well. So lots of positives to take. It's just those defensive lapses. You can't defend like that against teams like Arsenal and expect to come away with anything. And that's the one thing that Shakespeare maybe spoke about afterwards, getting on the training ground and sorting that stuff out. Those defensive errors, they're going to have to sort those out before too long. Jamie Vardy, of course, another great
positive. For me was the really big positive.
He'd not scored. I mean, he'd not scored in pre-season. He'd missed a couple of really good chances in pre-season to get off the mark. And there was a few questions of, will he be up to full sharpness when the season starts? If he's not quite scoring these chances, getting pre-season, all those questions were answered straight away, weren't they? He looked absolutely razor sharp. He looked. Look like the Vardy we all know and love, and causing defences real problems.
Well, there was, and it was an easy outlet for the Leicester players. If they were in trouble, they could put the ball in behind, and he would chase it and put people under pressure, force mistakes, get them to play a bit further up the pitch. He was electric all night, and the only downside, the only one opportunity, was when Mahrez, who had a really quiet game until about a 15-minute spell in the second half, when he played Vardy through on goal and Cech was able to come out and clear. I mean, that was a good opportunity for Vardy. But besides that, he was clinical. Great header for the second one to divert it into the bottom corner as well. And he was the big positive for me. Agree with you, Matty James. Great to see him out after 825 days since he started a Leicester game. Vicente Abora well will be challenging there. I think his injury late on sort of changed Shakespeare's thinking of how he was going to actually line up. on the day. Let's talk about Riyad Mahrez, though, because Riyad had a really quiet game, certainly in the first half. He showed glimpses in the second half, but it wasn't the sort of performance that's going to convince Arsenal to pay Leicester City's asking price for him.
No, and I think he'd had such a bright pre-season. He'd been Leicester's most creative player in pre-season by quite some distance. And people were thinking, oh, this is... Maybe Riyad's getting, he's getting back to that form that we saw a couple of seasons ago. Maybe he's trying to push himself closer to the front window of the shop to see if people want to buy him. So all the signs were really positive going into that Arsenal game. But once again, it was the performance of the Mahrez we saw last season, getting marshalled out, getting closed down by numerous defenders, not finding a way through, not being able to offload the pass, trying a bit too much, getting frustrated, and when he gets frustrated, he's always got that body language that, even when he's playing well, he looks like he doesn't really care, and he's got the kind of the languid shoulders. When it isn't going well, and he's looking like that, the body language doesn't come across well, doesn't come across like a player that's really fighting for his place in the side or fighting even for a move away. So if I was Roma or Arsenal or anyone that might be interested in buying him, from that performance, you wouldn't think, do you know what, Wilson put 45 million quid for this bloke. Didn't really give you that sense.
No, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's a very different scenario to the one that Swansea find with Gylfi Sigurdsson and Southampton with Van Dijk. I thought Mahrez, if anything, was trying too hard in the game when he was on the ball. He was trying things that, instead of keeping it simple, he was trying things that are a bit more complicated. So I think it's a completely different scenario to those other ones where players have admitted they want to leave the club, may feel aggrieved that they haven't had their moves away. I think Mahrez is playing. I think it's getting to the stage now with Mahrez. There's nobody else coming for him after the bids for Roma that we're aware of. Mm. I think it's come to the stage now where Mahrez just has to accept that he might not get his move in this window. Knuckle down. The best thing for him will be when the window shuts and he can just focus on his football again and get back to being the Riyad Mahrez we saw the season before last. And then he will get his move away from Leicester City. But we'll see how that pans out. We have got some transfer news today. We have got some transfer news. Tom Lawrence set to join Derby. It's been a strange one. Only 3 years with the club, and he's made 4 appearances, only 1 start.
Yeah, he's had as many loan spells away from Leicester as he has had first team opportunities, which is really disappointing for a player that signed from Manchester United with a really high reputation. I remember at the time, 3 years ago, a lot of my Manchester United supporting friends on that deadline day were texting me saying, you've got an absolute bargain here for £1 million. Like, he's really highly rated. We think he's going to have a really, really bright future. We can't believe that. Because it's the same day that they loaned Nick Powell, didn't they? Mm. And they were saying, we can't believe that Powell's gone on, that it's not Lawrence on loan and not Powell, because Lawrence was the one with the really bright future. Wales international, but in the same way, he's fallen into the same line as Bartosz Kapustka and all those players that Kramaric as well, to a certain extent, that come in with relatively high expectations. Not obviously as high expectations as Kramaric did, but never really seemed to be given his chance to perform. I thought he looked really good in pre-season.
Played a big part in
that MK Dons game. There were very few bright things from that very dull game, but Lawrence's performance was definitely one of them. And we were talking afterwards, after the game, and saying that Lawrence had done enough really to put him ahead of, you'd think, Musa in the pecking order. He looked like he could be more dangerous than Musa, but it looks like Leicester have decided that it's time to cash in. So I spoke to Shakespeare afterwards and said, he's 23 now, is it at that point where a decision really needs to be made? And he said, we're going to keep looking at him in pre-season, I want to see if I'd rather him stay, but every player has a price, and if that price is matched, then we'll see. And it looks like that price has been matched, and it's going to go. I think I'd like to see more of him. I'd like to see him given more of a chance, but he's at that stage in his career now where he needs to be playing regular football, and is he really going to get that chance at Leicester?
I mean, they reportedly paid £7 million for him, Derby, which is a big investment. But if you look at his performances last season at Ipswich, when they were pretty much a one-man team at times last season, I think you're pretty much guaranteed a player that's going to help you get promotion. So we'll see how he... Best of luck to him at Derby County. It's a shame it didn't work out. But as you say, there's a number of players at Leicester City that, you know, are probably not going to feature that much this season. I mean, there's still question marks over the future of Papi Mendy and Ahmed Musa, whether we're going to see them after the transfer window shuts. But And we'll see. Let's talk about additions. I think we need a few more additions before the window shuts. We've just got just over two weeks now before the window closes. Do you think City need to recruit now, having seen that Arsenal game?
Yes, I do. I think we know they want another central defender. They've had a £10 million bid rejected for Johnny Evans from West Brom, but I think that game showed that Leicester could really do with that with some more quality and potentially a little bit more youth in that centre of defence. I can't see Johan Benlewan featuring at all. You weren't there when we were at Burton, and Shakespeare subbed him right at the end because he flew in with a horrendous tackle, left the ground two-footed, wiped some bloke out in front of Shakespeare on the touchline before the referee had a chance to send him off. Shakespeare said, "Look, I'll bring him off." Then afterwards, when we spoke to him about it, he said quite vehemently, if he does not cut that out of his game, and he has that in his game, he will not play. So I can't see him featuring. I know Wes obviously missed the end of last season with troubling and niggling injuries. He didn't seem to be back to his kind of imperious best. I thought he was struggled a little bit against Arsenal. Huth obviously coming back from injury. I feel like Leicester need another centre back to come in.
Well, the signing of Kelechi Iheanacho has given them another option in attack. That's as true. Well, and we haven't seen a lot of him yet. Obviously, he's still being nurtured by Craig Shakespeare because he's missed parts of pre-season because of his protracted nature of his transfer here. But I think now with Iheanacho on board, you've got Slimani, Ujoa, Shinji Okazaki, who I thought was very good as well, deserved to mention the Arsenal game, his goal as well. I think City have got some decent striking options now. Midfield, we know they've got plenty of options. Like every club, though, it's a question of injuries and suspensions. If they can avoid injury suspensions, they've got the players, I think, to do quite well. And I know we're going to be predicting where we think Leicester are going to finish and where everybody's going to finish after one round of games. I know we're going to do that. We're going to have a go and see at the end of the season if we've got that right. My money's on Man City, by the way. No, it was a strange old weekend. Let's talk about some of those results, because it was a strange weekend, wasn't it? Burnley winning at Chelsea, and then you got Huddersfield shocking Palace, and it took some interesting results on the opening day. It was a strange one.
Yeah, well, after Leicester's crazy game on the Friday night, I thought that was probably going to be the weirdest game of the weekend, but obviously it wasn't. Chelsea now join an exclusive club with Leicester as being the only champions to lose the first game of their title defence. That was strange. Chelsea seems like an odd thing going on with the whole Costa situation and Matic being allowed to go to Man U, who was he was brilliant in their win over West Ham. That's strange. Burnley, again, brilliant from set plays. Like I say, we're going to look to see where teams are going to finish this season. And looking at them, there's a lot of muchness teams in there, and you look at these teams and you think Leicester should really finish them. They take out Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, maybe Everton with the summer they've had, although I'm still not convinced by them. I'm not convinced Wayne Rooney's going to score 20 goals a season for them. You look at all the other teams and you think Leicester really should be better than them, which would suggest an 8th place finish, which would be excellent, I think. But yeah, it's been an entertaining start to the Premier League weekend.
There's certainly nothing to fear.
No, there isn't.
I didn't see any side that I thought, wow, no. I don't really worry for Leicester City when they face them. You know, I think Leicester can be competitive this season. A lot depends as well on, let's talk about Craig Shakespeare briefly as well, because a lot depends on, you know, his managementship this season. There was some criticism with the substitution, bringing Iheanacho on for Matty James, retiring Matty James, before Arsenal scored their equaliser on that. What did you think?
Well, no, hearing him speak afterwards, he took that on board and he said, yeah, I have to question myself there and about my substitutions, and obviously they're done for the right reasons. Shakespeare was suggesting that it wasn't the substitutions that had anything to do with those two goals. He was saying it was to do with clearing out at set plays. The corner came in, the ball was only half cleared.
I agree with that.
The defence went out as though it had been cleared and it wasn't, and the ball came back in and they scored. So Shakespeare's argument is that, well, it didn't really affect, the goals weren't necessarily the substitution. It did seem a surprise, because you'd have thought the natural replacement would be Andy King in for Matty James to keep that midfield compact, because the Arsenal were overrunning Leicester at that point of the game.
He wanted Ian Nacho on Granit Xhaka though, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He wanted
Ian
Nacho's youth and his pace to get around at Xhaka and put him off.
He didn't really have a chance, did he? No. But he only won the pitch about 30
seconds. I personally don't think the substitution made a massive difference, and I certainly don't think it changed the game in any way. But he's still got areas to learn. He's still, you know, we're talking about his first season as a full-time manager now for Craig Shakespeare, so he's going to have to learn fast as well, because this league can punish you if you're just below par. But as we both agree, there's not a lot to worry about for Leicester City in the Premier League. They can have a decent season.
Yes, true. What do you make of this? Because we're talking about Matty James now, how he's given Craig Shakespeare a lot of thinking to do ahead of Ebora and Drinkwater coming back with injury. What are you making of the Drinkwater and Chelsea links? What are you making of that? Because it's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's got to be a concern for Leicester that these rumours are still persisting, and it might be a case that Chelsea are looking to, well, they are looking to bring in a centre midfield player, but there are a number of options, and it's whether Danny Drinkwater is near the top of those options, or whether they're going to be trying to bring in alternatives, and then if they can't do then look at Danny Drinkwater. But the fact that he continues to be linked with Chelsea, it's got to be a concern for City. They don't want to lose a player lot of his ilk. He's really flourished at Leicester City, and for me, the transfer window can't close soon enough. Now they've done their major business bringing players in. They don't want anybody slipping out the door now.
No, I agree with you there. Drinkwater's obviously so crucial to how Leicester play, and it's just a key cog in the team that won the title and obviously last season as well. And you would hate to see a player of his ilk depart because he's so crucial to Leicester. But if I had to put my money on it, I would suggest he would be here at Leicester by the end of the transfer window.
And it's almost as if we plan these things, that we're talking about Drinkwater, and I finish by announcing drink beer. We've got a free beer offer. We have a sponsor now, Dilly Ding Dilly Dong. It is beer52.com. You get a free case of 8 beers from around the world. All you have to do is go on the beer52.com website, subscribe, you get your free case of beer. You only have to pay the postage and packing. I think it's $5.95 for postage and packing. You register then, you become a member, and they send you options for future packages of beer being delivered. We've tried them in the office. It's all very good stuff. And what you have to do when you go on beer52.com is put in the magic word Leicester, and you can register then and get your free beer. So free beer for everybody. And on that note, thank you very much, James. We'll join you again on Dilly Ding Dilly Dong in the future, and check back on the Mercury website and on our Facebook page throughout the week for all the stories as we build up to Leicester City's first home game of the season against Brighton and Hove Albion.